tides of March we've come, as we now dive deeper into the great work from The Female of the Species. The following, an adaptation of Edith Wharton's The Duchess at Prayer, is a gripping tale of darkness and betrayal. Rendered in our inimitable style, it was recorded live at the Slipper Room in New York City on March 25th, 2018. Of all the fine authors we are saluting this evening, one towers over them all. The great American novelist Edith Wharton was the first woman ever to win the Pulitzer Prize for Literature in 1921. She is to this day noted for her very detailed portraits of a particular fading aristocracy. But despite this reputation for realism, she also had a penchant for fantasy. She composed many ghost stories over the span of a career that lasted for more than 30 years. Wharton once famously quipped that while she did not believe in ghosts, she was still afraid of them. The following story, The Duchess at Prayer, has been adapted for the very first time for our theater of the mind by Rebecca Graves.
Wish to see inside?
I did not know it was possible to see more than the grounds.
Oh yes, says the groundskeeper, I have every key to the villa. I can take you to the Duchess's apartments, which are beyond the courtyard there. For 200 years, nothing has been changed in the apartments of the Duchess.
And no one lives here now?
No one, miss.
And the palace and the villa are always closed?
As you see, always.
How long has this been?
Oh, since I can remember.
That must be a long time. May we go in? It's quite hot in this noonday sun.
Indeed.
Well, it's quite cool in here, at least.
Do you see there, above the fireplace?
The painting of the gentleman in Spanish dress.
It is a painting of Duke Ercole II.
He looks rather vain, doesn't he? I wouldn't imagine him being a pleasant man.
Perhaps not. If we continue, beyond is the Duchess's bedroom. No one has slept here since the Duchess Violante.
And she was?
The lady there, in the portrait on the wall. First Duchess of Duke Ercole II.
The same Duke Ercole II from the previous painting. Oh, but she has such a lovely and pleasing countenance, it seems an odd match.
Indeed. You would not be the first to think such a thing.
And what's through that door there?
The chapel. This door goes to the Duchess's balcony, if I can find the right key.
Are we disturbing someone in prayer?
It's a sculpture. It's the Duchess by the Cavaliere Bernini.
Oh, I must get a closer look. Oh, it's really a magnificent sculpture. The folds of her dress look like real fabric.
Yes. It's as if Bernini kept life in his chisel.
Oh, but look here. Well, surely it's not the same Duchess in the picture.
Oh, it is the same Duchess Violante.
But her face, it's frozen in horror or hatred, so unlike the painting.
It is her.
Oh, but the face, what does it mean? Why would it be sculpted in this way?
It was not always so.
What was not?
The face, so terrible.
Well, the Duchess's face.
The statues, it changed after...
After?
It was put there.
The statue's face changed.
That's the story. I tell what I've heard. I mean, what do I know?
The story now. From whom did you hear it?
Oh, my grandmother. She saw it herself.
Your grandmother? Your grandmother was...
The Duchess's serving girl. Ursula was her name.
Your grandmother? 200 years ago?
Is it too long ago? I'm a very old man, and She was a very old woman when I was born. When she died, her breath whistled like the wind in a keyhole. She told me the story when I was a little boy. Come, and I will tell you the story that she told me.
Nencia, you've returned from Venice. Oh, tell me everything about it. The parties, the music.
Ursula, don't trouble yourself with such foolishness. Help me unpack our lady's trunks. It has been a long journey, and the Duke's in a dark mood.
But, Nencia, is everything all right? Is the Duchess happy to be coming back?
The Duchess is pleased to do the Duke's bidding.
Was it him who made her come back here? I thought she loved Venice.
Yes, but Vicenza is her home now.
Nencia, don't you think it's an odd match? The Duke is such a somber man, always very serious with his books. And the Duchess, well, you know better than I do. She is light.
Ursula, it is not our place to speculate. We serve the Duchess and the Duke. Never forget that. Take up those candlesticks and give them a shine, girl. Did you do nothing while I was away?
I will polish them, if you will tell me about Venice and the Duchess. I want to hear about every gown she wore. Did she powder her hair with gold, as she does sometimes?
This is not a market to be bargained in. Do your work, because it is your work. And a helpful word to you, my dear. If you ever wish to reach the station of lady's maid, you should learn now to never gossip about your mistress. It is a sacred trust that is held between the two, and I intend to keep that trust intact.
Yes, Nencia.
Now pick up your rag and polish.
Nencia, bring me my necklace, the one with inlaid pearls.
Yes, Your Grace. Is it a special occasion?
Indeed it is. The Duke is going away for some time, but his cousin, the Cavaliere Ascanio, has recently come to live at the vineyard across the valley. He will be joining the Duke and me for dinner this evening.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, it will be nice to have another young face in the house. I beg your pardon, ma'am. I mean no offense to His Excellency and the chaplain.
Nencia, you are so right. It will be welcome to me, too. I can hardly expect you to ignore the Duke's long absences. And then the brooding when he is here, it's almost unbearable. I nearly prefer the old chaplain's watchful eyes than the Duke's sullen tempers.
Thank you, Your Grace. Though, I hate to say it, I know you were happier in Venice. But I am happier to be back home.
Oh, there, there, Nencia. You sweet old thing. Don't worry about me. I am well taken care of. I just need a bit of diversion from time to time. What am I to do, he says, to make this place home, but for what purpose? To entertain the chaplain and make it a pretty place for books to sit?
I do not know, Your Grace.
No, I don't expect you to. Ignore my ramblings, Nencia. Now make haste in fetching my necklace. I don't want to keep the Duke nor our guest waiting.
What do you make of it?
Make of what, silly girl? Hand me that dirty dish there.
You haven't noticed of late? The Duke stays away, but the Cavaliere Ascanio is here at the villa nearly every day. He is always composing poems and little songs for the Duchess.
Are you going to help me with these dishes or not? If you must prattle on, at least help me with the chores.
He is handsome, don't you think?
Who?
Cavaliere Ascanio, of course. No one else in this villa could be called such a thing.
I think it's lovely that the Duchess has another young soul to keep her spirits high while His Excellency is away for so long. It has been months.
Does the Duchess confide in you her true feelings for the Cavaliere?
Nonsense. Her true feelings are those of kinship. She is showing hospitality to her husband's cousin. That is all. You missed a spot there.
Duke!
Ah, Duchess and cousin, together. What a happy coincidence.
Isn't it a lovely day? We're so pleased to have you safely home from your journeys, cousin.
Indeed. And what a lovely picture you two make in the gazebo. Is that your precious pearl necklace you're wearing, Duchess?
I must have had a premonition that you would arrive home today. I know it is your favorite trinket of mine.
Trinket? It's an expensive piece of jewelry to wear out on the grounds.
The summer days have been long, and it is so much more pleasant out of doors.
Did I not tell you to make the villa your own? It would pain me to think you are unhappy here. I do hope my cousin has not been distracting you from your domestic undertakings.
Certainly not, cousin. You've let the Duchess with ample time to arrange the villa to her liking. I felt it my duty to occupy her in your long absence as your kinsman.
I would think, cousin, that you also have obligation to your vineyard. Come, get in the carriage and I'll take you back to tend to what is yours.
Dear Duke, is that necessary? You've journeyed for so long and must be tired and hungry. Let us invite Ascanio to dine with us this evening. I know my many questions after you return from business annoy you. Ascanio will keep me from bothering you so.
Cousin, I'm at your disposal. I do not wish to offend you with my presence.
Very well. Stay.
Oh, thank you, my dear Duke. I shall order us a fine dinner.
Yes, and then we shall want privacy. So don't plan to stay past dinner, Ascanio.
But of course, dear cousin. I wouldn't dream of it.
Nuncia, isn't it so gloomy now that summer is over and the Cavaliere Ascanio never visits anymore?
The Duchess seems to be in high spirits. I wouldn't worry yourself over it.
The Duke is here more often now. Have you noticed?
As he should be. It's his house, after all. Have you brought down the linens yet?
I was just going up to fetch them.
Well, hurry, girl. They won't mend themselves.
But don't you think it's odd that the Duke hardly spends any time with the Duchess? You would think he was married to the chaplain for all the time he spends shut up in the library, discussing books with him.
Yes, but neither are bothering our mistress nor us, so we shouldn't gossip idly about things that don't concern us. The linens.
But doesn't it pain the Duchess that the Cavaliere Ascanio has gone away? Hasn't she poured out her true feelings to you?
Nonsense, Ursula. Her Grace is a married woman, and this household has plenty to occupy her time without the Cavaliere distracting her.
I know you are keeping her confidence, but shouldn't we try to help her if she's in distress?
Distress? I would like to see you distressed, foolish girl. Why can't you be bothered with your work instead of these stories you make up in your head?
Come in.
Your Grace, please pardon my intrusion.
Think nothing of it, Your Reverence. And to what do I owe this rare visit?
Your Grace, we have had a foreign peddler visit with the most handsome cabinet of books. I think they would be a welcome addition to His Excellency's library.
Holy Mother of God, must there be more books about me?
But Your Grace, pardon me, but I did not know...
You may buy them and welcome, my good chaplain, if you can find the money. But as for me, I am yet seeking a way to pay for my turquoise necklace. So you see, I've no money to waste on trifles.
Many apologies, Duchess. I didn't mean to offend you.
You should pray to St. Blandina to open the Duke's pocket.
Your Grace's suggestion is an admirable one, and I have already visited the crypt to entreat the Blessed Martyr to open the Duke's understanding.
Nencia! Nencia, I've just had a thought.
Yes, Your Grace.
I must speak to the gardener's boy about the carnations in the crypt below the chapel. You should know I'm quite devoted to St. Blandina. Did you know we have her blessed thigh bone in a stone coffin in the crypt? It is a sacred relic that has been in the family for generations.
Yes, Your Grace. Forgive me, I did not know your fervor for the saint.
I find myself more inclined to religious meditation now that His Excellency has left us once again. The crypt's solitude suits my observations. I feel a closeness with the St. Blandina. Now, will you please fetch me the gardener's son as I bid? I have a message for him to deliver.
Yes, Your Grace.
Did you see Antonio, the gardener's boy, speaking at length with the Duchess among the box hedges today?
I did not, but I called for him at Her Grace's request.
Has she called for him frequently these past months?
What business is that of yours, Ursula? You've become more impertinent as you get older. It is not an attractive quality in such a young girl. Have you finished the embroidery on Her Grace's night shift?
I think it's wonderful that the Duchess has kept such brave spirits during His Excellency's absence, don't you? She has become quite passionate in her devotion. Have you noticed? She stays in the chapel longer than even the chaplain.
I think it admirable that she has turned to religion and found comfort in Saint Blandina. She has requested that not even I accompany her in her prayers.
It is almost Easter. Do you think the Duke will return for the holy festivity?
No, he has sent word that he will be going on to Rome.
Such a long absence. I do worry about Her Excellency being all alone so often.
And I worry that she will cast us out if you continue to neglect your chores. Now, she asked me about her night shift 3 days ago. Is it finished or not?
Almost, Nencia.
We want to take a brief break from our story to express how excited we are that this episode is sponsored by Audible. Audible's content includes a selection truly unmatched of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. For what we do in the world of audio drama, Audible is an indispensable resource. I mean, how perfectly perfect and apropos it is, given that we are in the middle of a month-long salute to the literary matriarchs of the mysterious and the macabre. It's Women's History Month, and with each week, we've been releasing a special episode for a series we call The Female of the Species. So far, we've paid tribute to Agatha Christie and adapted stories by Vernon Lee, and this week, the great Edith Wharton. The Duchess at Prayer is a rare ghost story by Wharton and adapted for Fireside by our own Rebecca Graves. Wharton, who was the first woman ever to win the Pulitzer Prize for Literature, is not the first name that comes to mind when one thinks of ghost stories. But dig a bit deeper past her better-known classics like The Age of Innocence, and you'll find a treasure trove of tales that explore the unknown and the supernatural. Audible happens to have an excellent title called Ghosts, Edith Wharton's Gothic Tales. It's a fantastic quintet of eerie stories, each performed by a different narrator. It's 4.5 hours of pure listening pleasure, and we highly recommend it. A big part of our show's mission is to inspire our listeners to explore the literary works that influence us. Audible lets you listen to more books by allowing you to switch seamlessly between any number of devices, letting you pick up exactly where you left off. Whether it's on your phone, through your car, your tablet, or at home on Amazon Echo, you can feast on tons of fantastic books, hands and eyes free, while doing almost anything. And Audible members get a credit every month, good for any book available in their store, regardless of price, and unused credits roll over into the next month. Didn't like your audiobook? Well, you can swap it. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and listen at any time, even if you cancel your membership. We encourage you to dive into Audible's massive library of audiobooks by amazing women writers. We recommend that you explore not only Ms. Wharton's canon, but our other choice picks that have influenced our show can all be found on Audible. Books such as Don't Look Now and other stories by Daphne du Maurier, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd by Agatha Christie, narrated by the amazing Hugh Fraser, and by Flannery O'Connor, A Good Man is Hard to Find, and other stories. And now it's easier than ever to take that thrilling plunge down the rabbit hole into a fascinating world of mystery, suspense, and dark imagination. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/fireside or text fireside to 500-500 and start browsing through the extraordinary selection only available through Audible. Download any title and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/fireside or text FIRESIDE to 500500 to get started. That's audible.com/fireside or text fireside to 500500. Thanks for listening, friends. Now, back to The Duchess at Prayer.
Nencia, I shall dine in my bedchamber today. I've asked Ursula to lay a table for me.
Of course, Your Grace.
Nencia, you're such a dear old thing to listen to my troubles. I know I can trust you with tonight's arrangements.
Oh, yes, of course, Your Grace.
I think I will wear my silver gown to dine, and my necklace inlaid with pearls.
Yes, Your Grace.
Your Grace, I have arrived with your supper.
Thank you, Ursula. Oh, Nencia, fetch me my rosary. I've nearly neglected my devotions. I must say a litany before I dine.
Yes, Your Grace.
Nencia, look! It can't be!
Oh, my goodness. The Duke's carriage. How is that possible?
But what is that behind it? There are many oxen pulling a cart. It must be quite heavy.
I must go and let Her Grace know. Come, come with me.
But, Nencia, why are you so frightened?
The Duchess must be warned, but must be told.
Where are you running?
Your Reverence, my apologies, but the Duke has arrived.
But is he not in Rome?
It appears not. Now, please let us pass.
But shouldn't we go meet our master and welcome him home?
We just need to let the Duchess know. She's deep in her daily devotion, you see.
I must go to her. Your Grace, the Duke, he is here!
Nencia, please, calm yourself.
Oh, Your Excellency, how good it is you are at home.
What's this disturbance?
Madam, I could have had no greater happiness than to surprise you at your devotions. Your beloved pearl necklace. You must have had a premonition of my coming.
My own happiness would have been greater still had Your Excellency prolonged it by giving me notice of your arrival.
Had you expected me, madam, your appearance could scarcely have been more fitted to the occasion. Few ladies of your youth and beauty array themselves to venerate a saint, as they would to welcome a secret lover.
Oh, sir, having never enjoyed the latter opportunity, I am constrained to make the most of the former. What's that? Who are these men?
That, madam, is a tribute to your extraordinary piety. I have heard of your devotion to the blessed relics in this chapel. Hence I have ordered a sculptured image of you to be placed before the altar, over the entrance to the crypt.
As to commemorating my piety, I recognize there one of Your Excellency's pleasantries.
A pleasantry? Men, drop the wrappings from the statue.
Ooh. It's the Duchess herself.
You will see. This is no pleasantry, but a triumph of the incomparable Bernini's chisel. The likeness was made from your miniature portrait by which I sent to the master some 6 months ago.
6 months? That long ago, Your Excellency.
Nothing could better please me than the excessive emotion you display. And now, let the image be put in place.
That I should be overcome by so unexpected a grace. I entreat only that in mercy to my modesty, the image be placed in the remotest part of the chapel.
What? You would have this masterpiece of a renowned chisel, which cost me the price of a good vineyard in gold pieces. You would have it thrust out of sight, like the work of a village stonecutter.
It is my semblance, not the sculptor's work, I desire to conceal.
If you are fit for my house, madam, you are fit for God's. Bring the statue forward, you dawdlers!
You are right, sir, as always, but I would at least have the image stand on the left of the altar so that it may behold Your Excellency's seat in the tribune.
A pretty thought, madam, for which I thank you. But I intend to put my companion image on the other side of the altar, and the wife's place, as you know, is at her husband's right hand.
True, my lord. But again, if my image is to have the unmerited honor of kneeling beside yours, why not place both before the altar where it is our habit to pray in life?
And where, madam, should we kneel if the statues took our places? Besides, I have a more particular purpose in placing your image over the entrance to the crypt. For not only would I thereby mark your special devotion to the blessed saint who rests there, but by sealing up the opening in the pavement would assure the perpetual preservation of that holy martyr's bones, which hitherto have been too thoughtlessly exposed to sacrilegious attempts.
What attempts, my lord? No one enters this chapel without my leave.
So I have understood, and can well believe from what I have learned of your piety,
Yet at night, a malefactor might break in through a window, madam, and your excellency not know it.
I am a light sleeper.
Indeed. A bad sign at your young age. I must see that you are provided with a sleeping draught.
You would deprive me, then, of the consolation of visiting those esteemed relics of St. Blandina?
I would have your statue keep eternal guard over them.
Sir, let the statue be put in place tomorrow, and allow me tonight to say a last prayer beside those holy bones.
Well thought, madam. I will go down with you now, and we will pray together.
Sir, your long absences have, alas, given me the habit of solitary devotion, and I confess that any presence is distracting.
Madam, up until now it is true. The duties of my station have kept me away. But from now on, I will remain with you while you live. Shall we go down into the crypt together?
No, for I fear your excellency catching fever. The air is excessively damp.
The more reason you should no longer be exposed to it. I will at once make the place inaccessible.
Oh, you are cruel, sir, to deprive me access of the sacred relics that have enabled me to endure your long absences. I must warn you, sir, that I fear the blessed Saint Blandina will punish us for thus abandoning her sacred remains.
There is indeed much wisdom in Her Excellency's words, but I would suggest, sir, that her pious wish might be met by transferring the relics from the crypt to a place beneath the altar.
True. And it shall be done at once.
No, by the body of God, you have denied me every request, so please grant me one.
Here are words enough, madam. Do you wish the relics brought up from the crypt?
I wish nothing that I owe to another's intervention.
Put the image in place, then.
Nencia, call me the gardener's boy.
Madam, I have traveled straight from Rome to bring you this proof of my esteem. I've had an arduous journey. Will you not invite me to supper?
Surely, my lord. It shall be laid in the dining parlor within the hour.
Why not in your chamber? And at once, madam. Since I believe it is your custom to dine there.
In my chamber?
Have you anything against it?
Surely not, sir. If you will give me time to prepare myself.
I will wait in your cabinet, then.
Very well. Nencia, come with me to assist in my preparations.
This agreeable evening repays me for the many dull ones that I have spent away from you. Nor do I remember to have enjoyed such laughter since the afternoon last year with my cousin Ascanio in the gazebo. And that reminds me, is my cousin in good health?
I have no reports of it. But your excellency should taste these figs stewed in Madeira.
I am in the mood to taste whatever you offer. If my enjoyment were not complete as it is, I could almost wish my cousin Ascanio were with us. The fellow is rare good company at supper. What do you say, madam? I hear he's still in the country. Shall we send for him to join us?
I see your excellency wearies of me already.
I, madam. Ascanio is a capital good fellow. But to my mind, his chief merit at this moment is his absence. It inclines me so tenderly to him that, by God, I could empty a glass to his good health. Here's to the cousin who has the good taste to stay away when he's not wanted. I drink to his very long life. And you, madam?
And I drink to his happy death.
What happened to the Duchess, then?
She suffered horribly all through the night, but without a word escaping her. The Duke watched by her, and toward daylight sent for the chaplain. But by this she was unconscious, and her teeth being locked, she could not partake in the last rites. The Duke announced to his relations that his lady had died after partaking too freely of a spiced wine and an omelet of carp's roe at a supper she had prepared in honor of his return. And the next year, he brought home a new duchess, who gave him a son and 5 daughters.
And the statue.
The statue. Well, miss, this is what my grandmother told me. Here on this very bench where we're sitting. My grandmother spent a night of horror, you may imagine, shut off from her lady's room. No one minded her that night or the next morning. And toward dusk, when it became known the Duchess was no more, the poor girl felt the pious wish to say a prayer for her and dead mistress. She crept to the chapel and stole in unobserved. The place was empty and dim, but as she advanced, she heard a low moaning. And coming in front of the statue, she saw that its face, the day before so sweet and smiling, had the look on it that you see now. And the moaning seemed to come from its lips. My grandmother turned cold, but something, she said afterward, kept her from calling or shrieking out. And she turned and ran from the place. In the passage, she fell in a swoon. And when she came to her senses in her own chamber, she heard that the Duke had locked the chapel door and forbidden any to set foot there. The place was never open again till the Duke died, some 10 years later. And then it was that the other servants, going in with the new air, saw for the first time the horror that my grandmother had kept in her bosom.
And the crypt? Has it never been opened?
Heaven forbid, miss. Was it not the Duchess's express wish that the relics should not ever be disturbed?
Right. me. Why you show me how to fly?
The Duchess at Prayer. The Traveler was played by Casey LaForest. The Old Man was played by Michael Pate. The Duchess was played by Lauren Elder. The Duke was played by James Reeser. Ascanio was played by James Kleinman. The Chaplain was played by Alan LaForest. Ursula was played by Rashmi Singh. And the part of Nencia was played by me, Ali Silva. The musical performance of The Kiss, written by Judy Sill, was sung by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Brad Whiteley. The Duchess at Prayer was adapted by Rebecca Graves from the short story by Edith Wharton. It was directed by Holly Payne Strange. The Female of the Species was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score was improvised by Brad Whiteley. Our sound effects engineer was Sean Haggerty. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Did you know that an easy rating and review on Apple Podcasts is not just a nice sentiment, it also helps to raise our visibility and gives us much-needed support. Other easy ways to support? Subscribe! Like us on Facebook. We can be fun to follow on Instagram and Twitter, where our handle is @FiresideMystery. So there's swag, and then there's swag. We've got swag for days at FiresideMysteryTheater.com/merch. How good would you look in an official Fireside Mystery Theater t-shirt or hoodie? Cuddle up with an FMT throw pillow, place a handy FMT tote bag on your shoulder. All of these things and more can be purchased from our merch store, FiresideMysteryTheater.com/merch. We'll keep you posted on upcoming sales. The saga in our little Long Island town continues on Sunday, April 29th at 5 p.m. You won't want to miss Sunken Harbor, the Strawberry Festival. If you live in or plan on visiting the New York City area, then you have a chance to experience a grand old time at our live Fireside Mystery Theater show performed at the fabulous Slipper Room. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. At the stately mansion of Ladlow Hall, one door mysteriously refuses to remain closed. Find out why in our next thriller, The Open Door, available wherever you find your podcasts. This is your own Ali Silva. As we are often fond of saying, do remember to mind the shadows.